Good morning, and welcome to Overeaters Anonymous for Vision. Welcome, Overeaters Anonymous, a Vision for You Big Book study. My name is Kathy Kay, and I am a recovered compulsive overeater. Today is Monday, March 9th, 2020, and we are reading from the Big Book. We are on page 95, the fourth paragraph down. Our share IDs for yesterday, Sunday, March 8th, the special edition is 14,226, 14226. And for this morning, 7 a.m. meeting, March 9th, the reference code is 14,229. That is 14229. Our readers today are Lorraine N. reading the 12 steps, Sandy D. reading the 12 traditions, and Dawn B., Leslie M., and Kathleen O. reading the text. Our newcomer greeter today is Mary B., and making announcements is Robin P., and thank you, Mo H., for getting us started with the recording. OA Preamble. Overeaters Anonymous is a fellowship of individuals who, through shared experience, strength, and hope, are recovering from compulsive overeating. We welcome everyone who wants to stop eating compulsively. There are no dues or fees for members. We are self-supporting through our own contributions, neither soliciting nor accepting outside donations. OA is not affiliated with any public or private organization, political movement, ideology, or religious doctrine. We take no position on outside issues. Our primary purpose is to abstain from compulsive eating and compulsive food behaviors, and to carry the message of recovery through the 12 steps of OA to those who still suffer. Our sole purpose. OA's fifth tradition states, each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. Excuse me. At a Vision for You Big Book study, our message is that people who suffer from compulsive overeating can recover through abstinence and the practice of the 12 steps and 12 traditions of Overeaters Anonymous. I will now ask Lorraine N. to read the 12 steps of OA.
Good morning. Lorraine N. in Oregon here, compulsive overeater. Here are the steps we took which are suggested as a program of recovery. One, we admitted we were powerless over food, that our lives had become unmanageable. Two, came to believe that a power greater than ourselves could restore us to sanity. Three, made a decision to turn our will and our lives over to the care of God as we understood him. Four, made a searching and fearless moral inventory of ourselves. Five, admitted to God, to ourselves, and to another human being the exact nature of our wrongs. Six, were entirely ready to have God remove all these defects of character. Seven, humbly asked him to remove our shortcomings. Eight, made a list of all persons we had harmed and became willing to make amends to them all. Nine, made direct amends to such people wherever possible, except when to do so would injure them or others. 10, continued to take personal inventory, and when we were wrong, promptly admitted it. 11, sought through prayer and meditation to improve our conscious contact with God as we understood him, praying only for knowledge of his will for us and the power to carry that out. And 12, having had a spiritual awakening as the result of these steps, we tried to carry this message to compulsive overeaters and to practice these principles in all our affairs. Thank you. Have a great meeting, and I'll pass.
Thank you, Lorraine N. Sandy D., would you please read the 12 traditions of OA?
Good morning. This is Sandy D., recovered in Central Illinois by God's grace and mercy. Number one, our common welfare should come first. Personal recovery depends upon OA unity. Two, for our group purpose, there is but one ultimate authority, a loving God, as he may express himself in our group conscience. Our leaders are but trusted servants. They do not govern. Three, the only requirement for OA membership is a desire to stop eating compulsively. Four, each group should be autonomous, except in matters affecting other groups or OA as a whole. Five, each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. Six, an OA group ought never endorse, finance, or lend the OA name to any related facility or outside enterprise, lest problems of money, property, and prestige divert us from our primary purpose. Seven, every OA group ought to be fully self-supporting, declining outside contributions. Eight, Overeaters Anonymous should remain forever non-professional, but our service centers may employ special workers. Nine, OA as such ought never be organized, but we may create service boards or committees directly responsible to those they serve. 10. Overeaters Anonymous has no opinion on outside issues, hence the OA name ought never be drawn into public controversy. 11. Our public relations policy is based on attraction rather than promotion. We need always maintain personal anonymity at the level of press, radio, films, television, and other public media of communication. 12. Anonymity is the spiritual foundation of all these traditions, ever reminding us to place principle before personalities. Thanks for letting me do service.
Thank you, Sandy D. How our meeting works. Our meeting focuses on the directions for recovery described in the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous. We read a paragraph or two from the literature, then stop and share what was read. Anyone can share, but we ask that you keep your sharing to the topic and literature we are discussing, and that you keep your share to approximately 3 minutes. Singleness of purpose reminds us to identify as compulsive overeaters only. Our absence requirement for moderators is 1 year, and for readers is 6 months. There is no abstinence requirement for sharing on topic. This meeting does request that your sharing be directly linked to what was read. We are sharing what the directions in the Big Book mean to us. To share, press star 1 to unmute. Once you are done sharing, let us know by saying pass, then press star 1 to mute your phone. In order to have a quiet meeting, everyone's phone except the speaker's should be muted. Today, we resume our study of the Big Book on page 95, the fourth paragraph down. And I will ask Dawn B. to get us started.
Good morning. Good morning. This is Dawn B., recovered in Southern California. If he thinks he can do the job in some other way, or prefers some other spiritual approach, encourage him to follow his own conscience. We have no monopoly on God. We merely have an approach that worked with us. But point out that we alcoholics have much in common, and that you would like, in any case, to be friendly. Let it go at that. Well, this is a great little paragraph here. And it does a very nice job in describing the attitude that we are to take when we find someone who needs our program and is interested in it. And what it's saying here is that after we've laid out the spiritual toolkit, we've given them the book, we've asked them to read it, you know, we've basically laid out, you know, what has worked for us. But if they think that they can do the job in some other way, have some ideas yet to try, that they should go ahead and try those. And we are not to, you know, give off the attitude that this is the only way, and that, we have all the answers. So to take a humble approach when talking with a new potential sponsee, and so encourage him to follow his own conscience, and you know, perhaps he can or she can find another way. We have no monopoly on God, it says. We merely have an approach that worked with us. So what we're going to be outlining for them is, this is what worked for me. You know, this is how I was. I was a hopeless compulsive overeater. You know, there was no hope for me. And I basically had two choices. You know, I could continue to compulsively overeat. I could continue down the road of more misery and more suffering and an early death and a lot of pain and suffering. Or I could put down the food and accept spiritual help and work the steps like my hair is on fire. There is no door number three. I had those two, you know, doors ahead of me. And there is no other option. And so, but we have no monopoly on God. We're not saying that this is the only way. You know, perhaps they can find a better way, and perhaps they can find a way that works for them. But this is what worked for us. This is what worked for me. And I am very comfortable in describing to new people, you know, my situation, how I was completely lost in the food. I was on a roller coaster of emotions. You know, my family never knew who they were going to get. They're going to get angry Dawn, you know, giddy happy Dawn, or to turn at a moment's notice and be like raging Dawn. And more often than not, it was raging Dawn. And nothing worked until I found this program. And I was as willing as the drowning can be. I was that person in the water, you know, really desperate and willing to do absolutely anything to end the suffering, to end this misery that I was in. And so that's how we approach the potential people that we could work with, is just by stating what worked for us, you know, where we were at, and how we basically turned our lives over to the care of a power much greater than ourselves, who could do for us what we could not do for ourselves. And with that, I'll pass. Thank you.
Thanks so much, Dawn B. Okay, I'd like to take names of people who would like to share on this paragraph. One at a time, please.
Michelle J.
Okay, Michelle.
Laura W.
Michelle J. Laura W.
Barbara E.
Barbara E. Melissa C.
Kathleen O.
Kathleen O. I could take one more name.
Bruce E.
Oh, Bruce E. Great. Thank you, mm-hmm. Bruce.
Thank you.
Okay, so we have Michelle J., Laura W., Barbara E., Melissa C., Kathleen O., and Bruce E. Please share with us, Michelle J.
Good morning. Michelle J. from Arkansas, recovered and recovering, truly by the grace of God. Yeah, what a beautiful little paragraph that was. Being not in control is one of the joys that I have in program, and I've learned, and I can just rest in it. And working with people is such a blessing. But every single person, every relationship that I'm having with people, either in program or ones that I think need the program or those that attempt the program, I see a plan that I can't control, and it's a good place. And as I'm allowing God to help me lead into people's lives, sometimes I just smile and become the friend. I'm just the friend on the side. You know, somebody may have a gastric bypass, and I just pray and hope and walk through with them. If that's what they want to do, that's fine. You know, I say, I'll be there. I'm here, you know, because I just want to be a friend. Because I know that sometimes the plan that they have for fixing their issues may not come to fruition. And if I wait patiently, and if I'm there, and if I am working the program, and I am full of recovery, and they can see that regardless of where anybody else is, and the people around me, either they're going to make their plans happen for them, but if they don't, they have a door they can open. I'm always here and I'm available. And just being available, being healthy in recovery and program, being a friend, it opens the door for everybody everywhere, regardless of their religion, regardless of their walk or their plans they're trying to do or are thinking about trying to do. But it's a beautiful journey for me just to be available and patient and let somebody else, God, take the reins. And I just love this paragraph. And with that, I'll pass.
Thank you, Michelle J. Laura W., please share with us.
Thanks, Kathy K. Good morning, everyone. This is Laura W. I'm a recovered compulsive eater, anorexic, and exercise bulimic in South Jersey. Yeah, you know, this reminds me that there are many ways to skin a cat, you know what I mean? Like, I don't have not only a monopoly on God, but it says we merely have an approach that worked for us. It doesn't say we strongly or we absolutely. We merely have an approach that worked for us. So just like food plans, which I know is an outside issue, but just like food plans, if I'm in a meeting with 20 people, there should be 20 different food plans. And just like working the program the way you find God, there might be 20 different ways to find God. My job isn't to tell you that you must believe in God. My job is to help guide you and to hold your hand and take your hand and put it into your higher power's hand. However you find that higher power is up to you. I mean, and I truly believe that today. When I first started sponsoring, I was awful. I was terrible. I had to make amends to people for telling them that, oh, you can't eat that, or you can't do this, or this is how you have to do it. And today, you know, I know people who've gone through the steps and gotten recovered in a month and a half, and I've known people it's taken 6 months to a year, and working the steps and the way it's outlined in the big book. And that's all I can share. That's the way I work it. I work the 12 steps, and I maintain a spiritual connection with a higher power through the 12 steps of Overeaters Anonymous. There's other things. You know, it says we're all-inclusive, never exclusive, and there's other things that I do to enhance my program that are not in the big book and that are not spoken about at meetings, but however somebody wants to find their higher power and however they get not only the spiritual awakening, but the art of remaining undisturbed, that is what true recovery is to me. However they get that way, that's up between them and their higher power. You know, if somebody wants to try intuitive eating, if they want to try, if they think they can eat this or if they can, you know, I'm not going to convince them what's going to work and what's not going to work. The food will do the convincing. My job is to share, okay, well, you know, if that's what you want to try, I'm here and let's talk about it. And if they wind up binging, then maybe it's not the right food for them. So I'm just grateful for the reminder that this is a, you know, not a one-size-fits-all program, but the steps are the only thing that we need to work together. Thanks for letting me share. I pass.
Thank you, Laura W. Barbara E., please share with us.
Can I be heard?
Yes, you can, Barbara.
Oh, okay, I didn't realize I was coming up so soon. Well, I too think this is a wonderful paragraph, and I find myself saying those same words every single day, which leads me to think everything in this book is a wonderful paragraph. But just as there are, what, 44 flavors in Baskin-Robbins, there are so many different ways of losing weight. And our plan, the plan that we've adopted, may not fit another person. I would never take someone else's inventory. If they want to go to Weight Watchers and it works for them, go to it. If they want to eat in moderation, moderation is not a stop by on my subway, so I don't go to there. Do I weigh and measure my food? Yes, I do, because I have to. Do I take a scale to a restaurant? No, I don't. I trust my higher power. But I love the principles and the traditions involved in OA and in all these AA promises, in every group. Honesty, hope, which is the mirror image of step one. I was and am powerless over food, and my life was unmanageable. When I was living in my head, I was behind enemy lines. So I needed something other than myself, other than a sponsor, to help guide my way of thinking. I needed faith. I had to make a decision to turn my will and my life over to this power that I didn't understand, and I had to have that courage to take the moral inventory. And I am a consummate liar. I lie to myself, and I certainly will lie to you. And sometimes I don't even know when I'm lying. But by working these principles, by trying to get some of that integrity and willingness and humility and love and justice and perseverance and all the other beautiful principles involved, and then getting to share my experience, strength, and hope with another, if he or she is interested, is a beautiful, wonderful thing that gives me sustenance. And I can't, nor would I ever, stalk someone. It's attraction, not promotion. I won't go over to someone in a restaurant and say, oh, you look like you need a program. I've got one for you. I would never, ever do that. But if that... Wow. Was that me?
Yes, that's time, Barbara.
Oh, it's beautiful. Thank you so much. I'll stop right there. Okay.
Thanks a lot for your share, Barbara E. Melissa C., please share with us.
Hi, good morning. It's Melissa C. I'm a recovered compulsive overeater in New York. And, you know, I look up the word monopoly, you know, on God, right? And so that's exclusive control. And, you know, so if I think for a second that I have exclusive control over the path to God, then I have not learned anything in this program of recovery, because it's the opposite of everything I've learned. I have, like, no control over anything. That's why I'm here. And, you know, and I read this paragraph and I realize that it's to remind me that I got to keep my know-it-allism in check, you know, and... I can laugh at myself, because only an addict, you know, like me, who stumbles upon this solution in a state of utter desperation, you know, because nothing else worked, then I want to in turn shove it down everyone else's throat. And it's kind of funny that I need a reminder that I don't know what's best for anyone, and that people have their own conscience, and I don't know what's their path, right? And their conscience has more value than my opinion, you know. And, you know, so my experience is I've had sponsees and prospective sponsees and people I've known who want to do the job another way, and perhaps without God, you know, so because that's like that, if you're going to find God, the desire has to come from within. And so if they want to find it another way, whatever that is, That's all on them. It's all good. And some of them have come back, you know, and some have not. But I'm to be friendly. And I love this chapter says it over and over and over and over again. I'm always told to be friendly. And it just keeps repeating it, because I think as a whole, people, and myself included, tend not to be friendly towards people with differing perspectives. You know, if someone doesn't see things the way I see it, I have to be reminded, no, you have to still be nice to them. Just because they don't play the game the same way as you, or they don't have the same perspective on the world as you, we're still told to be nice, you know. And my experience is that just like people were nice to me when I thought I had another way, I knew that I could come back to them when my way didn't work. And so that's my hope, right? That if I'm nice to someone, if ever they do need this program, they know they're not going to come back and have to eat, you know, eat their words or eat a plate of crap to call me. And there's never an "I told you so." It's just friendly. This worked for me. And that's all I have, you know, about what I can offer them. Thank you. With that, I'll pass.
Thank you, Melissa C. Kathleen O., please share with us. Kathleen, press star 1 to unmute.
I'm sorry, Kathy. I'm sorry. Thank you for your patience.
Sure.
This is Kathleen O., recovered in Northern California. If he thinks he can do the job in some other way or prefers some other spiritual approach, encourage him to follow his own conscience. You know, we all come in with a common problem if we're the real compulsive overeater. And that problem is that once we start eating our alcoholic foods, we can't stop. And I know I came in, excuse me, because food consumed my thoughts all day long. You know, what was I going to eat? Where was I going to get it? Where was I going to eat it? I didn't come into this program for a spiritual solution. I came in because I wanted to lose weight. And I wanted to keep that weight off. I had lost weight hundreds of times, but I always gained it back, and I had tried hundreds of different solutions. So this is a program of attraction, not promotion. My first meeting, there was a lot of physical recovery, thankfully, and I liked what I saw. And truthfully, if people had talked about nothing but God, I never would have returned. So no one tried to push the spiritual solution. They listened, you know, they answered my questions, they shared their story, and they were friendly. I mean, they were genuinely friendly and interested in me. So I kept coming back. And the bottom line was that pain motivated me to keep coming back. So our goal is to show our own experience so people can identify in, you know, to realize that our story is their story, because most of us have suffered from this incomprehensible demoralization. It's not my place to decide if someone's a compulsive overeater. We really need to let each person draw their own conclusion. And I know for me, staying in the rooms, I learned the solution to my problem. And my problem was an allergy of the body, an obsession of the mind. That alone was a big eye-opener to me. I never realized that was the problem. And that there was a spiritual solution, and I was able to choose a God of my understanding. And no one else has to agree with my conception, and I'm not here to push my conception on anyone else. You know, we're very diverse in this program as to our conception of a higher power. And to me, and I mean, in my opinion, that's really the beauty of this program. So, you know, people do leave, and I know even for me, I came in and I lost my weight and I did really well for 7 years, and I fell into the on page 85, it's easy to let up on the spiritual program of action and rest on our laurels. I cannot let up on the spiritual program of action. It is action, it's spiritual, because we're headed for trouble, and I was headed for trouble. So I thought I can do it a different way. It didn't work. I had to come back to this spiritual program of action. That's what works, and I pass. Thank you.
Thank you so much, Kathleen O. Bruce E., please share with us. Press star 1,
okay.
Bruce.
Yes, I pressed star 1. I'm here now. Thank you. Thanks, everybody on the call. Thanks. I appreciate getting the share here. If he thinks he can do the job in some other way or prefers some other spiritual approach, encourage him to follow his own conscience. So Yeah, well, I had to follow my own conscience to get here. It took me quite a few years to get to this point where I was here, and glad I'm here. Again, this is Bruce E., recovering in Southwest Florida. Yeah, I can't talk him out of here. If he's got his a conscience, you know, if his conscience is telling him to go another way, other than the way that I'm showing, the way I'm laying out these spiritual tools to him, then I can't talk him out of that. If he wants to go a different way, I have to just be loving and accepting and friendly, like it says at the end of this paragraph. And if that way doesn't work for him, he can come back. If I'm friendly to him, maybe he'll come back to me, or at least come back to somebody that can help him. We have no monopoly on God. You know, I used, for years, I thought I had a monopoly on God. And page 62 says we have to quit playing God. It doesn't work. And that's probably what I'm doing. I think I've got a monopoly on God. I think, you know, I've got the only way. Nobody else has it but me. And you better go this way or it ain't going to work for you. And I had to quit playing God. It didn't work. How did I know it didn't work? Because I've tried playing God and it didn't work. We merely have an approach that worked for us. So, yes, this approach is working for me. And I have that approach, and it's attraction rather than promotion, right? But point out that we alcoholics have much in common, and that if he would like in any case to be friendly, let it go at that. Excuse me. So I had a guy, you know, about maybe 6 months ago. We talked about it, and I was going to sponsor him, and he said he'd call me, and then he didn't call back. So what happened there? Well, when I talked to him, finally talked to him, he said, well, he was going to do it a different way. His conscience had led him in a different way. He was going to have a check-in partner, and that's the way he was going to do it. Well, you know, I had to let it go at that. My ego was a little bruised up, but I had to be friendly and let him go. And if he needs to come back to this way that I've been doing, the way that's successful for me, then he can do that. So I got to quit playing God. It doesn't work. My sponsor told me that when I first started working with him. He said, you got to quit playing God. I didn't even know I was playing God, but I was playing God. And I got to be careful because my ego keeps drawing me back into doing that. So thank you very much for letting me share, and I pass.
Thanks so much, Brucey. Okay, I can take some more names. Who would like to share?
Courtney M.
I'm sorry, somebody M?
Courtney M.
Courtney M.
Deborah G.
Deborah G.
Margaret N.
Margaret N. We have time for a couple more.
Carolyn S.H.
Carolyn S.H.
Amy K.
Amy K. We might have time for one more. Is there one more person who would like to share if we have time?
Judith R.
Okay, great. Thank you, Judith R. So we have Courtney M., Deborah G., Margaret N., Carolyn S.H., Amy K., and Judith R. Please share with us, Courtney M.
Hi, thank you. This is Courtney M., recovered in Southwest Florida. And I, this is interesting, and I love hearing everybody shares on this. The idea, again, the monopoly. When I am really in my self-will place and self-centered place, of course I know the best path. Of course I do. Because obviously I know what's best about everything, which is why I, you know, was obese and and in debt and divorced and all those things because I knew best. So I think that it's really very humbling grasping this concept that, of course, just because I have found something that works for me, that does not mean that the exact path that worked for me might work for somebody else. Even though in the steps we are given specific directions, there's also some room in there for different voices. And I think that's really, really smart. Because with that space for different voices, that means that that message can be heard by more people because it's not so narrow. And one of the things that I'm finding really interesting as I am now sponsoring is I have, you know, sponsees that came to this with a specific religious background and ones that are more on the agnostic side, and they still can each follow a spiritual path and find their own recovery, even though they come from very different backgrounds. And they both come from a different background than I do. And I'm just really grateful that I have been given the opportunity to act as a guide on that spiritual path and not as a dictator, because I'm not an amazing dictator. But that's all I got. Thanks for letting me share.
Thank you, Courtney M. Deborah G., please share with us.
Oh, thank you so much. Thank you, everyone, for making this meeting possible this morning. I really appreciate it. I love this meeting. I only have an experience, strength, and hope. I'm Deborah, compulsive overeater, and that's all I have is my experience, strength, and hope, and I'm a compulsive overeater. That I truly know. And that place of surrender. I'm a compulsive overeater, and I can't do this. I can't do it alone. I need help. And that has to come from that power that I get in doing that step work. That's the only experience that I've had is getting to that power. You know, however I need to get to that power through those steps, that's going to be my amazing grace. That's going to be my help. And that's all I have to share with other people. And to think that I know anything different, then I'm in my own disease. And I can be loving, I can be kind, I can be honest. And that's what I'm having to do in another program right now, being honest and kind and speaking the truth of my recovery. And if that's something that someone else would like to do, you know, I'd be more than happy to help them, because that's that 12 step. I need to continue to help other people. And that's only if they want my help, you know, or want to do what I'm doing. Yes, I'm learning and learning and learning that's all I can do. And I'm so grateful for this program. I love those beautiful 12 steps and all of you. And thank you so much.
Thank you, Deborah G. Margaret N., please share with us.
Good morning. This is Margaret N., recovered in Loomis, California. And this paragraph really reminds me of the fact that of an awareness that took me quite a while to surface, and that is that no one else has to follow my script. I don't get to be the director of the play. I don't get to play God. And not with anybody else, and not even for me. And one of the biggest things I've learned is that even when I know I have more experience with something or more knowledge of something, it doesn't matter. I can share that experience and knowledge, but I still don't know what is best for another individual to do. And that is just part of the beauty of each of us finding our paths to our higher power, whoever or whatever that may be. It's open to every single one of us. It's just the most amazing, loving program. And my heart is so much softer for having let go of the thought that I have the best way. I have a way. And I love showing anybody who's interested my way and talking about it. And then letting them be who they are and accepting who they are and letting them come to me if they want more of what I have. So this is just another reminder. We're all on a path towards our higher power, and so many paths, each to the same spot, and there's room for everybody. So thank you so much, and I pass.
Thank you very much, Margaret. And Carolyn S.H., please share with us.
Hi, good morning, Mrs. Carolyn S.H. I'm just setting my timer. Gratefully recovered in Massachusetts. Kathy, it's so great to hear your voice. If he thinks he can do the job in some other way or prefers some other spiritual approach, encourage him to follow his own conscience. I looked up the word encourage because it doesn't say, you know, let him follow his own conscience or step out of the way, or, you know, it's more active than that. Encourage him to follow his own conscience. And the definition of it, encourage, is to inspire with courage, spirit, or confidence, to stimulate by assistance or approval, to promote or foster. It's like, you know, back him up, back her up, you know. And yesterday, four months ago, someone who I know from a different program approached me and said, you know, that she was talking to me about the food and how she wanted to do the steps. She's also in OA and all this, and, you know, would I sponsor her through the big book? And I was thrilled. I was so excited. I'm like, absolutely. So we made a plan of when to start, and then she never called. And then I ran into her yesterday, and she said, you know, she was so happy. She's like, the food is down again. Sometimes that just happens. And she said, you know, she found something she was doing. I forget even what it was. But she was like, you know, I'm checking in with someone and we're co-sponsoring or something like that. And you know, by the grace of God, I was like really excited for her. I was like, that's great. Good. You know? And there's a part of me that is like so disappointed, right? But that's not my higher power. You know, that's me, that's self, that's attached to, you know, me thinking I can play God, right? But I was so glad that there was a piece of me that was spontaneously, and I got 25 seconds here, like really happy for her, because I could see she was happy, you know. And I really felt in that moment that higher power, you know, was solving it for her in a different way than I thought was going to be. And this is just so cool that we're on this paragraph today, and I had that experience yesterday. And my time's up. Thanks.
Thanks so much, Carolyn. It's good to hear you too. Amy Kay, please share with us.
Good morning. It's Amy Kay. I am a recovered compulsive overeater in New York. And just setting my timer. Thanks. So I'm really grateful to be on the line this morning and to be hearing what everyone has shared. Point out that we alcoholics, compulsive overeaters, have much in common, and that you would like, in any case, to be friendly and let it go at that. So I think I would like, in any case, to be friendly and let it go at that. How many times over the years have I tried to share my experience, strength, and hope, but to really, really let people know that this is the way, this is the way. And I can say that in a way that presents it, I guess what I just need to say about that is I've been so many times on the other end, and when I was ready to hear it, I heard it, and when I wasn't, I couldn't. So there's no need for me to try and force my solution on anybody, not friends, not family members, not people who call me on the line. Nothing has to be forced. I can just breathe and share my experience, strength, and hope in a gentle and friendly way, and then let it go. And that doesn't mean disappear. It means be a friendly support. And I'm still learning one day at a time what that really means. I think that's all I have. Thank you. I'll keep listening.
Thanks very much, Amy Kay. Judith R., can you take 2 minutes, please, so that we are able to wrap up on time?
Sure, I can, Kathy. Hi, Judith R., gratefully recovered in Vermont. I've always had this thing of, but I don't want anybody to do it anyway but the 12-step way, because the God part is so important. And so my husband was in AA, and we used to talk program a lot, and he was like, fine, if somebody got sober or got whatever, through any other way. And I'd say, no, that's not okay, because I want the person to find God. What's the point of you living if you don't have God? And I think what I'm seeing today is, well, why don't I trust God that if somebody gets it another way, God may be behind that as well. And maybe they'll find God another way, and maybe they won't call it God, but maybe it is God. So I'm just grateful that my mind has been cracked open a lot from listening to this meeting. Even though this meeting is the strongest one I've ever been at, it's also taught me how I can let go and let others have their own way of doing it. And for that, I'm very grateful. And with that, I'll pass.
Thanks so much, Judith. And thanks to everybody who shared today and listened today. It's been a really thoughtful and thought-provoking meeting. Thank you to everybody. We will now close with the reading from the Big Book on page 164, followed by the Serenity Prayer. Leslie M., would you please read A Vision for You? Our book is meant to be suggestive only.
Thank you, Kathy K. This is Leslie M. I'm a recovered compulsive overeater from Long Island, New York. Our book is meant to be suggestive only. We realize we know only a little. God will constantly disclose more to you and to us. Ask him in your morning meditation what you can do each day for the man who is still sick. The answers will come if your own house is in order. But obviously, you cannot transmit something you haven't got. See to it that your relationship with him is right, and great events will come to pass for you and countless others. This is the great fact for us. Abandon yourself to God as you understand God. Admit your faults to him and to your fellows. Clear away the wreckage of your past. give freely of what you find, and join us. We shall be with you in the fellowship of the Spirit, and you will surely meet some of us as you trudge the road of happy destiny. May God bless you and keep you until then.